What is my vision? What's my dream? Why am I in Abakiliki this weekend? And hoping to come here, me and my men, every week for the next 2 years. I'm serious. That's the plan. For the next 2 years, at least for the next few weeks, you will see me. If I can't come, Pastor Kemute will be here. Our plan is the next 2 years. Because I see people that God has redeemed behaving as if they are under a curse. It's terrible. Our plan is to carry it like that every as many places as possible. If we can't go by ourselves, we'll form a Bible study group there, send people Bible scripts, let them be studying. Because, you know, it's so sad. You see, Christians are afraid of spirits, you know. Somebody is the reason why I'm not making progress. I don't know the proportion, but a huge portion of the prayers Christians pray in Nigeria today is a waste. God doesn't listen to them. Do you know where your placenta was buried? What concerns Jesus where your placenta was buried? If you see the kind of prayers they pray sometimes, Jesus can't listen to them. A lot of people who are praying, it's fear that's dictating the prayer. No, it's fear. All my enemies die because you are afraid of them. If you were not afraid of them, you wouldn't care. What did the devil say about it? He prepares the table before me after they've died. In the presence of my enemies. He didn't concern himself, my enemies die. The ones that are portioned for death will die. Some of them are appointed for repentance. They will repent. None of them, dead or alive, can prevent you from becoming what God said you will become. But you see the way they pray, you know it is fear. They bind the road, the spirits on the road, that blood-sucking spirit. Listen, it's fear. If you only bind them because you are afraid they can suck your blood. If you knew they couldn't, you wouldn't remember. I have never in my life bound a blood-sucking spirit. If what I do is I put my hand out, can you suck it? Try. If you can suck it, try. Try. You know some people's blood, all right? It's poisonous to evil people. Suck now, suck. You know, that's how you know that mosquitoes are more powerful than witches. No, mosquitoes suck the blood, they run away. Nothing happens to them. But try. It's the witch, you don't die. Let me tell you the truth. Please, let me tell you the truth, eh? Spiritually, these people know whether you're afraid or you're not afraid. And if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, they don't try. I don't know whether you get my point. The so-called witches. Now, please, let me say something. When I talk, some people think that I don't believe in witches. I do. I went to preach somewhere one day. Some women at the end said, this man does not know African demons. I said, good, I don't catch you now. Because somebody reported them to me. Next day, I came and said, those of you that know African demons, try and sleep the way I sleep. You can't. You know African demons. You are awake every night, 2 a.m. to 4 a.m., binding them, modulating the activity, telling them where they can. Me, I'm asleep. Why? It is written, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. So I believe, look, it's not as if I don't know. I'm just saying that they also know African Christians. The African demons, the African witches, they know African Christians. They know the people who are true believers in Christ Jesus. And it's in our Bible like that. God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He reminded God, did you not surround him with a hedge? As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. Will it have made sense? Will it have made sense for Job to be binding Satan? In the name of Jesus, don't come near my territory. Job said, who are you calling my name? Did I come near your fence? No, think about it. Just imagine for a moment. Job went to church and he's praying. Now, you knowing what you know now about the hedge and all of that. And the pastor now says, tonight, we are going to pray. Hey, every blood-sucking spirit that wants to come near your property. And Job too begins to bind. I bind you. Satan will be like, kilo day, what is your problem? I bind you. Sit and say, this man, take your time. God, you know, he'll be wondering, are you normal? Do you follow my point? Job, you know, Satan would have been wondering, what is wrong with this man? And I can assure you one thing. After a while, Satan will like the work that Job is doing. Because he said, he's binding us. Does it have any effect on us? No. Why? We're not going near him before. And he cannot bind us on another person's property. So, why will he like the job? He said, now Job is not focusing on the things that are important. So, tell all the demons, surround his compound and raise dust. They know they can't, now, are you getting my point? They know they can't cross into his area. So, they stay outside and raise dust and make sure Job notices. Job will not gather his prayer warriors. They will be praying. The time they should have been praying for the progress of the church, they will not pray about it. The time they will have been praying for the head of state that he will rule well, they will not pray for the head of state. The time they should have been praying for the progress of the gospel in the nation, they will not be doing it. They will not be praying about it. Why? They will be so busy praying about what is not troubling them. That is why I'm convinced Satan will have loved, or no, Satan loves many of our churches because he has kept us busy with worthless exercises. One whole night looking for where our placenta is buried. You will say to God, show me the story of my life. When my mother was born, who were the people who began to declare that day that I will not go far? When I started telling stories, there was one girl, she's not married, until she was 39 and a half. Then God revealed the story of her life. She now remembered that her father hung a thread in the roof. And then they went to the place and they cut the thread in the name of the Lord. 6 months later, she's married. Tell God, you will show me who tied my destiny in the roof. Those stories are not in the Bible. If Jesus cannot cut the rope by himself when he delivered me from my sin, maybe you should go back to the cross and die one more time. The power might increase. But I can assure you, he doesn't need to go back to the cross. No, he doesn't need to. He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. Jesus has released enough power that if we water his words, anything that was hanging by mistake, it will fall down by itself. There are no things to go around trying to cut. No. Don't worry yourself about the story of your life. Who tied your destiny? Who didn't tie what? No. People who pray those prayers, they've been captivated by fear. Fear has held them when Jesus has already come to give them deliverance. And I was saying something else. Let me just say something to you. These spirits people are pursuing. Do you know? I heard it from different places, and I believe it's scriptural. It's very scriptural. It's very scriptural. Okay? Very, very scriptural. But what I want to bring out is the reality of it, as some people painted it to me, from Rick Joyner and from this Australian prophet, Neville Johnson, and I think Kenneth Hagin too. Yeah, Kenneth Hagin. Put those three people together. I can assure you of one thing. When you are walking on the road without opening your mouth, the evil spirits know who has the power of God with him or her, or who doesn't. When you walk in fear and you're always minding them, you are weakening. Listen, you attract them. Are you getting my point? It's like they say dogs can smell fear. Dogs. Yes. A lot of those animals, they can smell fear. If they just sense you're afraid, they get bolder. That's how evil spirits are. It's not I resist you that resist Satan. No. Just walking around, not even caring about him, he will check. Leave that guy. He's dangerous. David Johnson says that people ask him, can demons read your mind? He said they don't have to. That what you are thinking is showing on you. Your confidence is radiating. He said if you see the spiritual realm, if you think there are colors, they say there are no colors here. Spiritually, there are colors. He said everything is radiating in colors. He said if you see into the realm of the spirit, he said the place is full of colors. He says, so, if you are confident, it shows. The colors just move out. They give you your space. Many people claim they are praying. They are not praying. They are inviting spirits into their homes. And I'm not joking about that. A friend of mine went to pray one day One of these pastors that like to chase demons decided to pray with him. They prayed for, I think, 3 or 6 hours. Just can't remember the length of time, but I think it was 6 hours. They prayed, binding every segment of the road, clearing it of spirits. He said, after that, he told me with his own mother, he felt so sick, he thought he was going to die. I laughed that day. He said, why am I laughing? I said, fella, is your prophet. I said, fella has given you, you know fella, Anikula Kokuti. I don't mean fella Drotoye. Okay, no, I don't mean fella Drotoye. I mean fella Anikula Kokuti, the ganja smoking musician. He said, I told him, I said, fella said, trouble sleep. Yanga, go wake up. God kept you well, safe. You and your own pastor got up, started digging out evil spirits and fighting them. So they wore you out. Oh, they wrestled you until you were tired and you fell sick. You should have just stayed where God kept you in victory. You should have stayed where God kept you in spiritual confidence. You should have stayed where he kept you, where they can't reach. You know, you took yourself from where God kept you. You came down to where they were playing and you rest. They couldn't kill you. If they could, they would have. God didn't let them. But they wrestled with you until you were tired. That was why you fell sick, as if you were going to die. That's why I've never seen any Christian that prays those fire prayers that has victory. Because the Bible says that if those sacrifices had been able to cleanse the consciousness of sin, they would not have needed to be offered again. Are you getting my point? So in the same manner, if those prayers had worked, which spirit are you still killing? Which demons? Which witches? One man does in Port Harcourt, the annual witch-killing conference. I said, why do you embarrass Jesus like this? I got to Port Harcourt, I saw the big billboard, annual witch-killing conference. Every year you gather to kill witches. God in heaven, every year. I say this to you, and I'm not kidding about it. They don't kill any witches. There's no victory in their lives. There's no victory. That day when I went to that prayer, the women were grumbling behind. I was talking like I'm talking now. This man, there's no African witches, there's no African demons. I came next day. Somebody leaked it to me. I said, those of you that know African spirits and know African demons, sleep the way I sleep now. Sleep the way I sleep. You can't. You spent all your life fighting witches. And you're not even... See, I wish we were fighting this Satan for serious things. I would have joined those people who were fighting in the name of Jesus. The Satan that is saying that Maiduguri will not be evangelized. We fight you in Jesus' name. Are you getting my point? I would have joined them, maybe be tempted. But what are we fighting over? The Satan that said I will not prosper. Among the words, Satan, you're out of your mind. Can you say it? Satan, come. Do you think you can say it? Satan say, ah, wallahi, I can't. Good. Go and sit down. I'm sure that's how Satan is. Satan has few jobs he can do. Let me tell you the truth. First job he does is to tempt you to disobey God. God has given that one to him. Even then, he has limits. He can't just do any temptation he likes. God has told him the limit he can go in your life. Any temptation he brings to you, the Bible says that you have the power, you have the ability to resist it or to escape it. That's what the Bible says. Satan, that's all he can do. In fact, that's the only one. That's all. Everything revolves around his ability to tempt. Because part of that temptation is to deceive people. That's part of the temptation, to deceive you. As God said, it's deception. He said, you will not surely die. Deception. Eve was deceived. Once Eve believed, then she fell for the first one. The main thing is eat, which was temptation. Deception, you will not surely die. The two of them walked together. She disobeyed God. That was when Satan now got the power of death over them. If you want to resist Satan, listen to me. You resist him in that I must obey God no matter what. I must believe the word of God. Like my friend said, one of the things I say all the time is that one of my desires is that God, whatever you are promising the scriptures, we must experience it. So if he says to Isaac, don't run anywhere. So in that land, I want to be Isaac. Everybody has gone to Egypt. I don't want to go to Egypt. I want to stay in the land and sow in that land. Even if it looks like it's not raining, I will dig the ground. If I want to get tired, I will pray for strength. What it means to overcome is not this overcoming witches and wizards. That's not the issue in life. It's when God says, sow in the land. And somebody says, no, don't sow yet. Wait till you see rain falling. And God says, Isaac, don't worry. Sow in the land. Let me tell you what God said to Isaac. There was famine in the land. Everybody was moving. Isaac too was moving. He got to Gerar and stopped. And God said, don't go beyond here. He was on his way to Egypt like everybody else. He wanted to go abroad. But that was the issue. He wanted to go abroad. Now, this is the point. God said, can't you see? I'm analyzing it for you now. God said, can't you see? Land is now cheap because they've all run to Egypt. People who were running to Egypt, they are selling land cheap. I've seen people buy houses from people who wanted to run. Buy cars from people who wanted to run. At the end of the day, nothing happened. One of our brothers those days, when it was June 12 crisis, in the north, I think that was the following year after the election, the anniversary of June 12. People ran away from all parts of the country. He was in Taraba State. He's a pharmacist. Southerners ran. And if you go to the north, a lot of those businesses are controlled by Southerners. So all the pharmacy shops in town closed. My bro refused to run. He made so much money. He was the only shop open. He was selling morning, afternoon, and night, bringing his drugs. He's a pharmacist. Bringing drugs from deep. Bringing the pharmacies were supplying, the companies were supplying him. He was open morning, afternoon, and night. Why? He dared to stand. At the end of the day, you know what happened? Nothing. All that happened was that he grew richer. Isaac, the same thing. God said, listen, my guy, where are you running to? So in this land. So Isaac went around and said, okay, who wants to sell his land? Isaac was buying. That's what God is daring Christians to do. Who wants to sow in the land? Nobody agreed. They were selling his land, their land. Who wants to sell? Bring Isaac goodbye. Who wants to sell? Isaac goodbye. The same year, he began, after he finished by, I imagine a few drops of rain fell, gave him some encouragement. He began to till. The same year, he reaped 100-fold. You know what God used farming to do for Isaac? Make land cheap. That's what God used farming to do for Isaac. How do I bless Isaac? To bring famine. When they brought famine, you know, because of famine, Pharaoh became very rich, and Jacob became very, Joseph became very influential, and Israel had land because of famine. Anytime you see famine around, start running up and down like people that don't believe God, for goodness sake, settle down, say, what am I supposed to be doing? Everybody has disappeared. That was what famine did for Isaac. Famine made Isaac rich. The man sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. And it was the country is rough. Country was rough. That was how Isaac became rich. Your country is rough. You are not everybody. Why are you a Christian if you talk like everybody? Why are you a Christian? Look, you see, I've made up my mind. There are times I think about it. I've read a bit. I still read a lot. And I hear all kinds of nonsense people say every day. I just made up my mind that somebody must live for something. The one I'm living for is obeying the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, what if you die in the process? Those who are obeying Satan also die. Everybody go die. Why you died and how you died is what you should be discussing. One day I was telling myself, I said, God, I don't want to die useless death too. Let my death, that's the only prayer I prayed that day. I want my death to glorify you. I don't want to hear that I was driving on the road. I jammed tanker, he exploded, I died there. What kind of nonsense death is that one? If you say, okay, I must even die violently, hey, let's die violently in a good place. Let's die violently in Pakistan. Let's be preaching to a multitude. Are you getting my point? Let's be declaring Jesus is Lord. Let 10,000 have finished giving their life to Christ. 5,000 filled with the Holy Spirit. 1,000 healed. Then some people now say Allah Akbar and say Jesus is not Lord. I say, yeah, Jesus is Lord. Then behead me that time. my beheaded head, are you getting my point? We smile and be singing. And I'll say to the Lord, let that head sink for 5 minutes. Let them get crazy. Let the decapitated body salute. Jesus is Lord. And then we'll die. We'll not say we don't die. You're they die. Say snake bite you. Die. Say useless death. Snake. I know that death I don't like. With a crossroad, I can't help end your life. What kind of rubbish is that? I want to die. Let's die responsibly. I don't mind being beheaded, but what's the name of this girl? Leah Shaibu. If you return that girl's corpse to us, I will pray to God to give me a daughter. I will name her Leah. Return her corpse. If my wife not born the daughter, I will go adopt her. Give her Leah. Why? I said, God, I want to honor one girl that we heard the story of, that withstood Shekau and his men and said, I will not convert to Islam to save my life. Honestly, if that girl dies, I won't cry, I won't shed a tear. I will declare celebration. Don't you know heaven will be rejoicing? What am I crying over? Any girl I find after that, they name this baby, your name is Leah. Before they know what's happening, they'll just see Leahs growing all over Nigeria. They say, what is the epidemic of this Leah? I say, yes, we are honoring a little girl who stood for Jesus. And so far, you're supposed to die. Somebody say, you chop belly, for your belly explode. Nonsense death. You were skiing on the Alps. It is ski. African man, they ski. Because prosperity has confused him. Then he fell down, hit his head against a rock and died. That's useless death. And you want to die violently, go and preach in Sambisa. May them shoot you for there. They will know you died. You died well. I have no problem. No, honestly, I'm not saying I'm looking for who will kill me. But I'm just saying that if that's what it takes, God, you hear me, I'm saying publicly, I won't pray against it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's why I don't understand clearly. They say country is rough. Listen, when I thought about it, I realized country was rough. I analyzed it. I said, the reason why the country is rough is because the Christians are dumb. They're running up and down looking for prosperity. I said, no. Told my men, we need to go around preaching the truth to the Christians. My friend who visited me a few days ago, over the last few days, he said, look, I want to analyze some things. He said, wait, that place needs to be covered with the gospel. That's how he reacted to what's going on in the north. How he reacted to what is going on in the north is that that place must be covered with the gospel. Listen, we are not, look, I made up my mind, somebody must live for something. And I tell myself, what is it there? What? I've made up my mind to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a medical doctor. If I tell you what I do about my health, you'll be embarrassed if you know medicine. I don't want to start discussing it now. When they say don't eat egg, I eat too. Now they say don't eat sugar. I say, I increase the dose of sugar in my food. Tell me not to eat sugar. It's nonsense. It's not because I just want to eat sugar. It annoys me when you see Christians worship diet. Yesterday, two people died exercising that I'm aware of. Yesterday alone. Our brother, Ima, he called me in the morning. He said, one of our officers, when they were exercising, he collapsed, he died. Asked me for counsel. My friend told me that he met his friend at the airport. They just called him. That his friend was rushing back home. Why? His wife collapsed and died at the gym. I said, that's not what we have been saying. These things don't preserve life. If you want life to be preserved, you pray to God. Like Pastor Corey said, when he came to Enugu 2 weeks ago, he said, you are in Enugu, you are not safer than me. He lives in Meduguri and Sokoto combined. It's always shorting between Meduguri and Sokoto. Either in Meduguri or Sokoto. He said, don't think you are safer than me because you are in Enugu. It's only if God keeps you, that's when you are kept. So I made up my mind, I want to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. The world will not tell me how to live my life. Let it be that. He said, you Christians, you won't take medicine, you'll die. I said, I work in the hospital. Those who take also die. Bros, they die just as frequently as those who don't. And maybe more frequently. Maybe. Now, maybe I talk for that one. But whether you take medicine or not take medicine, don't let anybody lie to you. Every man will die. And I work in a place where I see the mistakes of doctors every day. I made up my mind I will believe Jesus Christ. I take my Bible and read it every day. It's my entertainment right now. I use it to entertain myself. I just take the Bible and just be reading. Just be reading. Just be reading. Just be reading. I was reading Zechariah, then I remember Ezekiel. I jumped to Ezekiel. I just read all of them. Just be reading. Brother, Christians are not dedicated to the Word of God. Dedicated to everything. They know how to plan for their future. They do. Now, I'm making a point here. I made up my mind to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I saying? I'm challenging you to do the same. I'm telling you to do the same. Don't run up and down the way everybody's running up and down. That's what I'm trying to say. Say to yourself, Abba. He said, if you go abroad, that's when you prosper. I say, God, what is wrong with you prospering here? Let's do an experiment. Let me put my confidence in you and in nobody else. Let me put my confidence in you and in nobody else. That's what we are saying. Let me put my confidence in you and nobody else. And let us even see what will happen. If we die in the process, so people have died before. But you know what Jesus said? He says, those who make statements like that, they end up not dying. He said, those who lose their lives for my sake are the ones that find it. I said, we should open somewhere. Let's read that one, and then we'll close with it. We'll continue tomorrow morning. Now, for time's sake, we'll just go. Numbers chapter 13. We know the story about the spies. How the Lord spoke to Moses to send out spies into the land of Canaan. And we all know the story, so there's no need to read all of that. What we need to read is the report. Verse 25, when they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel. That's at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. And this is the point. These are all. There's nothing surprising here. God told them, these are the people you will drive out. Nothing new. Is that not? Is it the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all of them, God told them. Then Caleb, verse 30, quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land which devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. I'm going to stop reading here. What I want to bring out is that you see, the people saw themselves wrongly, and what they said came to pass. And let me say something to you. Did the Anakim kill them? No. Did the Canaanites kill them? No. Let me summarize. Who killed them? I don't know. They themselves started, but who executed judgment upon them? I'll tell you, it was God. It was God that now sentenced them to death. What am I going to say? Be careful when you speak against God. You know what God said? These people have conspired against me. We'll read it later. Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow. Numbers chapter 14.